Blog Talk Radio.
Our destiny is greatness, people. Why?
Because God did it.
Come on with it.
Talk to him.
Hey, stick your knee in the bone.
You know why they yawning,
yawning.
Talk to him.
Come on,
get them out the way.
Come on.
Ain't got way about that.
We loosen the movement.
Lathoric.
It's happening.
Talk to him. Good morning. Listen here, people. Thank you for joining us. I am Eric Terrell, and this is Nick and Eric in the morning. And here comes the good morning screen.
I'm ready.
Good morning!
Woo! That's right, baby. We are back. It is Syrup Topic Tuesday. I done messed up. It is Topic Tuesday, and we are ready to go today. B.
What's
going on with you, bro?
What's happening? I'm feeling
ain't
good.
Ain't nothing much, good brother. Ain't nothing much. I'm feeling good, too. I'm up.
Cool. Of course, there's no need to fear. Your fantasy football champion is still right here. Let's not forget that on a Topic Tuesday. I'm still holding fast to my belief that no one wants to play fantasy with me ever again. That's how bad I defeated the competition last year. If there's anything that I'm good at, almost as much as I'm good at comedy, it's fantasy football. That's what it is.
Well, so you want to get the season started before the preseason starts.
Well, you know, I was talking to my buddy Jason Jones. He has a draft date coming up. You know, a lot of the fantasy experts on. Stop it! Don't you dare!
This is weird. Why does he have that? All his players are going to get injured in the preseason.
Not really. His draft date is August 27th. So that's a week and a half before.
That's more like it. That's a realistic draft date.
Exactly.
Which
draft date which some leagues don't even have yet because, you know, they're afraid to get the league started. Listen, everybody's welcome to lose against me in fantasy football. You're all welcome. And we're going to get
the
show started.
I'll be so glad when this league starts.
Oh, man. That's right. And then not only will I be the reigning, but I will be the reigning defending fantasy football champion.
Jesus.
That's right. until I'm eliminated, which will never, ever happen. Now, let me say we've got a good show today, a good important episode today. We're talking about African-American voting power. As simple as that. That's what we're talking about today. We do have five things. We do have, I made a nice short list, just something to think about. Just the five people that are kinder than Donald Trump. That's what I'm doing this week. We've done smarter. We talked about who's smarter than Donald Trump. And now we're going to talk about who's kinder. You know, the Democratic National Convention was last week, and the Democratic National Convention painted, in my opinion, from what I heard, three big pictures of Donald Trump more than anything else. I do want to commend my DNC for its attacks on Donald Trump. I thought everyone had great Donald Trump attacks, which is not hard, but I thought they did a phenomenal job at attacking him. The three pictures they painted more than anything else, bro, is from a policy perspective, they painted the picture that he's not about policies, that he doesn't present any real solutions. The second big picture that they painted was that this man is impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
You heard Hillary Clinton say that someone who can be baited with a tweet does not deserve to be the president. And, of course, Michelle Obama saying that when you have the nuclear codes and the military at your command and at your fingertips, you can't make snap decisions and you can't have thin skin or lash out. They painted the picture that he's impulsive, which is definitely true. And the third picture they painted of that man is that he is a bully.
Mm-hmm.
And Hillary even went through a whole story about how her mother made her fight bullies. They painted a picture that he is mean, and he is mean. He is a mean man. He's talked about people with mental disabilities, and he's cussed out people at his rallies. He's talked about having people beat up at his rallies. He's mean. He is a bully, and they did a good job at highlighting and lamenting the fact that he's a bully. He's not nice. He is not nice. So we're going to do the five people that are kinder than Donald Trump. I just wanted to put that in there. Ready to get started when you are, bro.
Oh yeah, I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready to go. I don't know who the person is that you're talking about. I don't give him jurisdiction in my brain. I didn't know he existed. So take care. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
People ask me all the time, what do you think about Donald Trump? And I feel like I've been asking for almost 2 months now. Like, who is that? You're like the fifth person to ask me, like, what do I think of him? I'm like, who is he? What's going on? Why does everyone keep asking me about this guy?
good. I do apologize because I said at one point that I wouldn't say his name either. But I've been starting to fail more and more, and I'm embarrassed. To be honest, I'm embarrassed. But we're not gonna. Because you don't know who I'm talking about, so let's move on.
No idea.
Here we go. What's really relevant? Now, maybe you guys have seen this. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo on Monday directed the State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision to limit sex offenders from playing Pokemon Go. This is a real thing that that he has done. We're starting the show the way we've started the past two or three shows, our weekly update on Pokemon Go.
Yo,
this is big
bro.
Business, people. This is big business.
I was so close. So close to downloading it yesterday. Like, I thought
in
my mind I would download it only for this week, and I would tell the listeners, I have an announcement to make. I've disappointed you all. But I didn't do it. I was so proud of myself. I just was like, you know what? No, I'm not doing it. I said I wasn't going to do it, and I'm not doing it. And you should have saw the look that my brother and my brother's fiance gave me when I told them that I wasn't doing it. Well, not so much my brother, because he knows why. But you should have saw the look that my sister-in-law, I'm way out of line. He does not have a fiance. My brother is married. my sister-in-law, she saw the look that she gave me when I said, I'm not downloading Pokemon Go. It'll kill my productivity. She just looked at me like, boy, what you trying to say? Like, you trying to say I'm not productive? I feel like we had a whole conversation in each other's mind. Like, I'm like, no, I'm not saying it at all. Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. Like, stop looking at me like that. It's weird.
Yeah. Now, the funny thing is that it seems like adults play Pokemon Go more than children. But the governor of New York apparently sees some real danger in this, which he's probably right. He sent a letter to the game's software developer asking them to find ways to prohibit sex offenders from playing Pokemon Go. Protecting New York's children is priority number one, and as technology evolves, we must ensure these advances don't become new avenues for dangerous predators to prey on new victims. Cuomo said that in a statement. That's a quote. But you know, bro, it's I'm glad you didn't give in. I'm so glad you didn't give in, because I would have been, even though I love Pokemon, I would have been very, very disappointed in you, only because I've seen what it's done to people. I remember talking to my coworker at our summer program about a month ago, talking to her one day about Pokemon Go, and the two of us, we let the Pokemon Go users have it. I mean, we made fun of them. We went in. We were talking dirty about them, and the very next day, the same coworker. When we were at lunch, she said, "Yeah, well, you know, I just wanted to see why they were so hype." So I got the app and I'm like, "Okay, so how is it? So do you see why they're so hype?" She said, "Well, I was catching them this morning," and then she says that she did see one at the red light, so she had to get it, and she left her car. The same woman that ostracized Pokemon Go players the day before got out of her car at a red light to catch a Pokemon. I said this is amazing.
There was this guy who talked about bringing more jobs to America, and this same guy was the one that was doing all the job creating in third world countries. It sounds like your coworker is just like that guy. Sorry, I don't know the guy's name, but, you know.
You hear that, Carla? Do you hear that, Carla? Yeah, I said your name. You're just like that guy. Now, and I'm going to tell you to listen to this episode because you deserve to be ostracized as well, Carla Robinson. Your whole name. There you have it.
Oh,
now,
no, you got
here we go.
Chill.
Yep, I did it. I did it. Now, here we go. Let's calm down for a second. Let's get ready to do this. Here we go. Suffrage. People, we've got an important onus this year. We're talking about voting today. We're talking about African American voting today. We're making a quick switch because we've got to get right into this here. It's 13 minutes after. The first thing I want to say is what my pastor let us know 2 weeks ago. What he let me know. Is that what's being said now is that Pennsylvania is a swing state. And, you know, swing states swing by definition. And they swing from party to party, which means they're not typically consistent or predictable in terms of which major party candidate they will side with, meaning that this is a very, very important state for Hillary and the Donald to campaign in, because this state can go either way, which means people must vote in this state. And my pastor also said that usually whichever way Philadelphia goes, Pennsylvania will go. And he then said something that I did not know was true. I'm almost embarrassed to admit that I was ignorant to this fact, because I swore based on the Phillies and based on how our history, that this was not the case. And I still am not sure that this is the case, but he said that we have an overwhelming, I'm not sure the words he said exactly, I'm paraphrasing, but my pastor, James Hall, said that we have an overwhelming majority of black people in Philadelphia. And based on that, he said that whichever way black people in Philadelphia go, that's the way that Pennsylvania can go. Or, excuse me, that's the way that Philadelphia can go. And whichever way that Philadelphia goes, that's the way that Pennsylvania can go. And whichever way Pennsylvania goes, being that it's now a swing state, that's the way that the country can go. Which means that we have a huge potential to make a difference. Now, suffrage is nothing to play around with. There's two things that you cannot do. Listen to me, black people. If you decide, if you make this decision to not be a part of this election, the first thing you cannot do, and I joke around about this on stage, I say that, you know, black people are phenomenal complainers. Now, everybody complains. White people complain. Asian people complain. But it's not complaining that makes you a bad complainer, because we all have some complaints. But it's what you complain about. Complaining about the Donald, complaining about your government, complaining about the executive branch or whatever the results are from this election are futile. They are ignorant if you have not taken part in deciding who sits in the Oval. So complaining about who's president is out of line if you do not vote. That's the first thing.
Go ahead.
We're
far past the complaining, way past that. You know, you heard what President Obama said. Don't boo, vote. And you can add, don't complain, vote.
Matter of fact, I'll let you go, Nick. Let me just say this one more thing. The second thing I was going to say that you can't do, obviously, like you said, can't complain. Number two is you can't act like you're a part of this whole thing that we're doing. You can't act like you're on board with our evolution as black people if you're not helping us by voting, because this is the one of the responsibilities that you have. I mean, why be such a big fan of the movement? Why be such a big fan of our history? Why be such a huge fan of your history? Martin Luther King, everyone who's made all these sacrifices. You love the movie Selma. Why be such a big fan of all the movies? I mean, what is that movie about? That movie is about marching across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, for voting rights. The movie's about suffrage. The movie is about this election. So don't act like you're proud to be black and you're proud of this movement and you're proud of our progression if you're not taking part in this election. Do not do it. That's the second thing that I want to say you cannot do. I have more opinions, but I'm going to let you go, bro, because we're running time.
Let me tell you something right now, people. Let me tell you something right now. There has never been a more important time than this election for you to vote. You know, what's really getting my skin to boil is you have these moguls. You have these individuals who have people looking up to them and following them in all age groups, and they out here talking about they not going to vote because they're so disgusted with both candidates that they don't care who wins. So let me tell you something. People that are saying that, you're uneducated. You're uneducated, okay? You don't understand the magnitude in which this election is before us, okay? You need to get out and you need to vote, okay? Especially our African Americans, our people of color. We got to get out and vote, people. Man, talk about building the wall, okay? Now,
You got to get out and you got to exercise your right, the right that many ancestors died and fought for us to have in the first place. Now you talking about you ain't going to exercise it. You going to talk about your ancestors done went and they done died for nothing because you're not going to go out and vote. If you were sitting right here next to me, I'd go upside your head, babe. This is not about, you know, Hillary. It's not even about Trump. You got to look at it and say, hey, listen, you know, President Obama, as a Democrat, over the last 8 years, has been one of the greatest presidents to be in the Oval Office, okay? Now, all of these things that he has been able to do, in spite of the fact that we didn't get out and vote so that he could get some Democrats in Congress so that he could actually make some a strong impact on the country. You gotta make sure you understand that he did this in spite of everything coming up against him. You want to talk about an airplane taking off against the wind, look at President Obama, okay? Now, he's been able to do this, put all of this together, weave all of this together, knit it all so it looks like we can move forward, so it looks like change can happen. And then if you don't vote, if you think that you just going to sit back and allow Donald, you know, to come in office, well, you know, I got to tell you, all of that he's knit up together just going to get burned, unraveled, and we're going to be back where we started, being honest. And I know I ain't supposed to tell you who to vote for, and I haven't. I have not told you that. I have not told you that. But I'm just telling you what it's going to look like if you don't get out and vote. And it's never been. Yeah. It's never been the time. And you know what? There's one thing that I really enjoyed President Obama saying, because many people – didn't use their brain to figure out what he actually was saying. President Obama said there has never been a more prepared candidate than Hillary Clinton. And I look at that thing, I said, hold up now, President Obama. Now you're black, sir. You're black.
Yes.
And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means you had the world stacked up against you when you were running for office. There's nothing else you can go through for you, when you get into this Oval Office that anybody else, you know what I'm saying, that you ain't already seen. But when I sat back and look at this thing, Hillary was the first lady, a senator, Secretary of Defense. She's been in the White House for years. Y'all got to get out and vote when you got the most powerful African American man in the world telling you something like that. Oh, come on. He's the modern-day Martin Luther King. I don't understand how you don't get up and be galvanized and energized by the words of this man. Oh, come on. I'm through it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the Washington Post reports that the Donald is getting 0% of the black vote. 0% of the black vote. And in terms of, let me make sure I read this right, in terms of differential, in terms of differential margins, he's getting about negative 10% of the black vote. Power. Now let me tell you that voting power is not power at all unless you use it. What does that number mean if all of us are not voting? And then what does that number mean if most of us vote? Think about that. Think about that. Definitely, bro. And it's an important election for us, bro, and minorities, period. I mean, we heard what he said about Mexicans. So we heard what he said about Muslims. If you're a part of a group, if you're a part of a minority group, and I know Muslims aren't a minority group, but they're a group, they're a religious group. I mean, black people are a part of a group that's not that's not the most favorable group to white supremacy, then you could be in danger, because who knows that he's not withholding his anger towards other groups because he is not elected yet. Who
well,
knows
made
what groups he's going to – yeah.
He's made it clear, let's make America great again. You know, that is the politically correct way of saying what you're saying, who knows. You know what I'm saying? That's the politically correct. Everybody who wants to make America great again knows exactly what Donald is saying. That's his code. Vote for me because I'm going to make America great again. Well, let me ask you something, E. What was so great about America back then? Well, at least for us, it was nothing. We didn't have rights. We couldn't go on vacation in Orlando, kick back in the movie theater, do the show. You know what I'm talking about? We couldn't even talk about voting,
right.
E.
Right.
Now he's talking about make America great again. So who was it great for, E? Well, let's look at this thing. It was great for them. So when he said, well, let's make America great again, we know what he's talking about. We know what he's trying to do. Not on my watch.
All right. That's it. That's real. We'll end it there. This is something that we definitely both emphatically agree on, that pretty much all of us agree on. If you don't agree with this, then you need to get on board. I mean, I can imagine that I would have some white listeners, or that we would have white listeners, which we sometimes do, which we many times do, that would agree with us as well. Because like Michelle Obama said, she said it best, like, that this election is about love versus hate. It's more than politics. This is about love against hate, and love trumps hate. Now, here we go. Speaking of that, I got five things. I'm going to try to get as many of these in for my live listeners as possible. We got the five people that are kinder than the Donald. These are some nice people that I would rather see president or rather see run for president. They may pose a bigger threat to Hillary simply because they're not a bully, okay? Number five
coming to you live.
Lil Wayne. I said it again. He's smarter and he's nicer. He's smart.
No, you just gotta chill. Lord help him.
let's think about the Donald. He mocked the retarded. Okay, he drops F bombs all the time. Okay, he doesn't like Mexicans. I mean, lashing out at the family of this fallen soldier. Why don't we just let Lil Wayne be president? Why don't we just not be president? But why don't we just let him run for president? He's not much nicer.
Lil Wayne whole speech at the DNC gonna be a wreck. I mean, let's be honest. Hillary Clinton was quoting them in one of her raps or something like that. Her last speech, she said, "There are no ceilings. The sky is the limit." I said, "Did she just quote Lil Wayne? What is going
yes,
on?"
Yes. Yep. Just quoted Lil Wayne. That's right. that's right. I thought I was the only one who noticed.
She said, "There are no ceilings. The sky is the limit." I said, "Hold on, that's Lil Wayne album. What is going on here?"
Number four,
we gonna give you more.
Lord Voldemort.
Oh,
I said it.
No.
I said it. You know
I
who.
It,
you know who time. Is nicer.
Yo, you funny.
He who should not be named is.
Tell you something. I wouldn't say this often, but Donald Trump looks better than Voldemort. I tell you that right now. He does.
He's definitely pretty. We did smarter and kinder. I don't know if we'll do prettier. He's prettier than Voldemort. By a long shot.
sir.
These are the five people kinder than the Donald. Number three.
Number three. Come on, let me hear E.
Fred Sanford.
Oh,
that's right.
Quality.
Why don't you just let me run for president, you big dummy? Hillary Clinton, you big dummy.
That'd be the whole
Hillary
whole
Clinton looked like a wombat. What'd she say?
Like, oh, the whole debate, he be just firing her up. You big dummy.
Right. Hillary looked like your face looked like a garbage truck. Hillary, would you? Let me be president, you big dummy.
You.
He's kinder. These are five people kinder than a Donald. Number two.
Number two, listen to you.
Eli Pope. There you go.
Oh, yeah, that's quality.
Eli Pope.
Yeah, you did good. You get the good there.
That's right. That's right. And he can take over the world. He's probably running the show. Eli Pope.
Yeah.
Eli Pope is evil, but he doesn't talk about retarded people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now this guy is a kind guy. He's a villain. This guy is he's a hero slash villain, but he's a kind guy, and I think even though he's a villain, he's happy. He'd be kinder. Number one.
Number one. Come on, let's have some fun.
Beetlejuice. I said it.
Beetlejuice, people.
Beetlejuice is kinder than Donald Trump. There you have it. Now, listen here. Let me pull up this man's bio. Here
yeah,
we go.
Bro,
okay,
you gotta tell us, bro. Who we got tomorrow for? Who we got when?
People, we have got banker. Entrepreneur, financial literacy lecturer and specialist, William A. Wright II, representing Wells Fargo. William grows and deepens relationships with small business customers actively. Okay, he ensures the small business customers ranging from startup to an annual revenue of $2 million. He is a brilliant financial literacy specialist. He is a great lecturer. I've heard him lecture at Kingdom Life Church, and I'm excited to have him on the show to talk about financial literacy and about building a business and becoming an entrepreneur and the importance of that for the black community, with things like gentrification trying to hold us back and trying to puncture and exacerbate the black economy. You're going to want to tune in. Building a business of your own tomorrow with William A. Wright II from Wells Fargo. Who we got Wednesday? I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. I'm about right to, good brother. I'm ready to go. Love you some
time. Ready to go, baby. Thank y'all for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. This is a good one. This is good. This is fun.
Listen, we gave y'all all this to get from this show, but we want you to at least take away this. That your destiny, that my destiny, Eric's destiny, that all of our destiny are greatness. And it's not because of you. It's not because of me. It's not because of E. All destiny is greatness. Why E? Come on, brother. Hit him with it.
Because God did it.
That's right. Our destiny is greatness because God did it. I holla.
Yeah, baby.